It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 6th day of March, 2024. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round. And where, if you do pop into the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany right this little old instant, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers, Irish Dave and Squeaky and Theo. Hi, gang, and capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmergist Extraordinaire, Roger, in Oregon. Hi, I'm Robin, and it is, wow, prayer meeting Wednesday, huh? Yep, it is, and we got some prayer meeting stuff to do along the way. But it's also the day after Super Tuesday and the day before the State of the Union address. And every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different, so thanks go out to our 6th day of the month subscribers. That means thanks to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you, John. Thank you to Don in West Tennessee. Thank you to Michael in Chicago, formerly of Madison. Thank you all for being part of the reason that this program is able to exist and has existed for over 20 years. This non-commercial, non-capitalist, not-for-profit-oriented program that, this community, it's y'all. And so the fundraising goal stands at $775, $15 of Ralph's Goodbye Kirsten Cinema Challenge is still on the table. If somebody else kicks in 10, Billable Rick will add another 15, so we will be down to 730. No. Mm-hmm. 735. The ciphering, it's difficult. So, the PayPal button's at headon.live if you want to help out. So, Super Tuesday showed us some things, huh? It showed Dean Phillips the way to the door. Didn't see anything today about Marianne Moonbeam exiting the race. And it told Nikki Haley where to go and get off. And both did exactly that. What is shaping up to be a potentially disastrous Senate race is set up in cast in stone in California now. And whoseever idea it was to boost the candidacy of Steve Garvey, I hope it doesn't turn out to be too cute by half and biting not just Adam Schiff and not just the country in the ass. Well, not but the entire country. That's what I meant. So, Mrs. Governor, Ambassador, Speaker of the House, Haley, won one state out of 15, making two jurisdictions that she took in her abortive primary campaign. She won Vermont yesterday, and she won D.C. over the weekend, what the maggots were referring to as the swamp primary. Really? Sorry, there's a truck passing outside. There we go. So it's Nitwit Nero versus Biden. And naturally, the Associated Press was able to find some voters, for instance, in Minnesota, voter in Minnesota who said, "I really wish Biden wasn't running." Well, you know, I wish Trump was already in a nursing home, but here we are, and he should be. Where they find these alleged Democratic voters to what kind of rock you have to turn over to it beats the hell out of me. But the there was some polling in the aftermath of Super Tuesday by Quinnipiac University of Republicans and Republican-leaning voters. Leaning. And it turns out that among those who voted for Nikki Haley, well, it's a pretty interesting split. About half of them say, okay, I'll vote for Trump. And about 37%, however, said, I'm going to vote for Biden. And then 12% of the respondents said, I'm just not going to vote. Or I'm going to vote for somebody else. Or hell, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maggots are going to maggot, y'all. I had a note from Cynthia out in the Bay Area. FYI, I voted for Katie. Oh, well, sigh. I sincerely hope Katie Porter's career, political career, is not over, and I suspect that it is not. We need more Katie Porters in government, and we specifically need Katie Porter in government. Ever the gracious victor, Orange Julius Geezer declared, and it's a real email because I'm looking at it right now. Nikki Haley got trounced last night in record-setting fashion, despite the fact that Democrats, for reasons unknown, are allowed to vote in Vermont and various other Republican primaries. Is he just figuring that out? Does he not know about South Carolina, Stan, and Talabama and the like? Much of her money came from radical left Democrats. Okay, who did it? If radical left Democrats were supporting her, she'd still have a campaign. It was... is Chuck and Dead Dave Koch, are they radical left Democrats, y'all? I'm trying to... What?
Most of her money came from radical left Democrats, as did many of her voters, almost 50%, according to the polls. At this point, I hope she stays in the race and fights it out until the end. I'd like to thank my family, friends, and the great Republican Party for helping me to produce, by far, the most successful Super Tuesday in history.
Really? Because I don't think it was, or that word, I don't think it means what he thinks it means. He didn't win every state in Super Tuesday. Joe Biden did.
And would further like to invite all of the Haley supporters to join the greatest movement in the history of our nation. Biden is the enemy. He is destroying our country. Make America great again.
Oh, dear. The compensation is strong for this one. Saw some photos today of Carnival in Germany. There are some very, very talented float makers. I guess you could say that they are sculptors in papier-mâché. There's a law in Germany that says you cannot politically display the Hakenkreuz, the swastika. But it can apparently be used for purposes of political speech or satire or parody. And they did exactly, these float makers did exactly that. It was a thing to behold. One float depicted a Palestinian family with a steel gray tank emblazoned with a Star of David pointing directly, the muzzle point, the pointing directly at a Palestinian family, a mother with her babe in arms. It was powerful. Another depicted a Ukrainian soldier pointing his weapon, and behind him is Nitwit Nero stabbing him in the back. Probably the most profound one, though, was a float of Nitwit Nero with an American flag on his shoulder. You know, it's on a pole. He's got the pole on his shoulder, kind of, you know, fishing pole style. But the American flag that he's carrying has strategic pieces of it cut out. So that in point of fact, the American flag is transformed into a backward swastika. And that feels, I don't know, apropos. Since it's prayer meeting Wednesday, though, the funniest float is the one of maximum gospel sharp of the Russian Orthodox Church filleting Vladimir Putin. Art imitating life. So that's, you know, that's yesterday. Not sure when the Carnival parade was, but... And people say Germans aren't funny. Those were hilarious. This is all just a starting place because there's so much more. Some of the so-called experts are saying that, as with every primary so far, Super Tuesday was not good news for Nitwit Nero, but instead it was bad. I misspoke. Joe Biden did not win all of the primaries. He lost American Samoa to a Democrat that no one has ever heard of before. Fernand Armandi, who can be seen from time to time on MSNBC, said, "Great night for Joe Biden, bad night for Trump. Why? Uncommitted protest vote against Biden has been a total dud, but the Haley anti-Trump Republican vote share against Donald Trump is real." And he is a cheapskate, of course, Nitwit Nero. He had his victory party at Mar-a-Lago. Mag-a-Loco. And there wasn't an open bar. He can't afford one. He couldn't afford to set out three bottles of old Panther piss. One third of primary voters in both North Carolina and Virginia said that they will not vote for the GOP nominee, regardless of who it is. And 37% of primary voters in Virginia, 31% in North Carolina, said Trump would not be fit to be president if convicted of a crime. The light may be going on. He lost, Nikki Haley lost North Carolina and Virginia, even though those states are said to have moderate Republican voters. I don't know how moderate they are. And I don't know if he can unify them. If there's ever to be a viable Republican Party again, not that I'm in favor of that, they need to. They've got to reject him and his toxic cult of personality. With the State of the Union coming tomorrow evening, and I assume it will be, I assume it's going to be at like 9 o'clock. Katie Britt, freshman senator of Alabama, stand, as we mentioned, will deliver the Republican response. But apparently, Mullah Moses Mike Johnson has been telling his maggot membership to knock it off with the heckling. It was wild last year. But of course, Biden is very good with crowds, and he had no problem dealing with them. Mark Alford of Missouri said Johnson is reminding us to be respectful of the institution and to the President of the United States in the office, whether we agree or not. Much of these monkey shines and shenanigans started with a guy whose name isn't really from South Carolina, Stan. Oh, Joe Wilson, whose name isn't Joe, who yelled, "You lie!" at Barack Obama in 2009. Oh, those innocent days. Don Bacon of Nebraska said of Mullah Mike Moses Johnson's admonition, "We should be professional. We should maintain a high standard of decorum." Some people were less than sanguine about the chances. Tim Burchett of Tennessee, another maggot, said, will they do it? Meaning, will they heckle? Will they heckle him? Will they heckle the president? Will they do it? Does the Baptist Church have a bus? Of course they do. Ralph Norman being, I guess, trying to praise Sporkfoot, said, a lot of it's spontaneous. And they're not going to tell her what to do. She captains her own ship. Really? That's captaining, is it? It seems like a pretty leaky garbage scow, as far as I can tell. Tim Burchett claimed, they did it to Trump and nobody said boo, but when we do it, we're going to get made an example of. Really? No? Mm-mm. I don't remember it that way. Not at all. People are, in fact, expecting Mullah Moses Mike Johnson to be ignored. Because why shouldn't they? Why should Marge pay any attention? She has his testicles in an old mayonnaise jar in the back of her refrigerator next to the pint jars of her pee-pee. Behave, please. Whatever happened to those good old biblical days where God would strike people mute? Darlene in Connecticut with an interesting note. Everything Darlene writes is interesting. I don't know how I feel about Adam Schiff's sleazy move. I suppose, hey, all's fair in love and war. But we're losing Katie Porter and possibly Barbara Lee in the House for the next 2 years, right? I say again, what a sleazy-ass move by Schiff. Hang on. I guess I do know how I feel. Schiff clearly thinks that DiFi's Senate seat is his and his alone. I wish Schiff had used sleazy, underhanded tactics against the maggots in the House. Katie Porter played it straight up, and she got sacrificed. Tide turned against Jack Smith today. The scrotum is waiting until the very last day of the term to hear Trump's immunity claim, and two amicus curiae briefs were filed that may give that awful judicial Trump whore Aileen Cannon a possible out to dismiss the case. Jack will get his appeal, and I hope against all hope that the 11th slams the Trump whore off her high hot bench and back into the Cretaceous. The Cretaceous? Is there no further back? Politics makes strange bedfellows. And Schiff was obviously terrified of Katie Porter. And, well, like I said, I hope it doesn't wind up biting him in the ass for being too cute by half. And I know the case you're talking about, and I've got it here in the stack, and hopefully we'll get to it in a minute or two. Thank you, Darlene. Heckling at the State of the Union. Lee says, my expectation of the Republican most likely to just sit there quietly is... Oh, Lee. Mitch McConnell. He may not move much before or after the address. Yeah, something like that. Oh, by the way, guess who jumped out and endorsed Nitwit Nero today? Mm-hmm. Moscow Mitch. What a gelatinous thing he is. But what Darlene said about the scheduling of the immunity claim? Yeah, April 25th. They had said they would hear it on the week of the 22nd, and so they chose the last available day for the current term, which means we will probably not get a ruling until, what did we say the last day, the last work day of June was? Yeah, June the 28th. It's disheartening. Someone said they're making it crystal clear that their intention is to delay this decision as long as possible. This SCOTUS majority is disgusting. It's all Nitwit Nero has. And still no, there's still nothing from the office of Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Fappy Thomas as to his recusal, which he should do, but being as crooked as a dog's hind leg, won't. It's just, it is, disgusting. Disgusting. As to where they find these these so-called Democratic voters to, well, Lee in New York said, my answer, before LBJ, they were Democrats who supported the little guy. LBJ made these people see Republicans as better candidates. They want Democrats to be what they were. They just never changed their party affiliation, my guess. Yeah, the 71-year-old lady in Bloomington, Minnesota, who told the Associated Press, I just wish the next generation would step up and lead. Hope in one hand, ma'am. And, well, I got up and checked out my filthy morning habit. Matt, if you're out there, she's getting awfully close. You're so getting. I'm toaster shopping. That's all I'll say, Matt.
Business owners that wake up early in the morning, go to bed late at night, trying to make their businesses work, trashing entrepreneurs, trashing the people that make our economy the strongest in the world, trashing Mika, and I know this is personal for you, I just, for security reasons, I won't say who it is, but trashing people like one of your relatives who could have done anything, could have gotten a job on Wall Street if he wanted to, could have gotten a job on Main Street if he wanted to, but decided to go into the United States Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. Decided to give everything he had to be a Marine. And we won't say where he is right now, but it ain't Miami Beach in spring break. And it's going to be a long, tough haul for him. He did it voluntarily. That story is recounted every day by thousands and thousands of young men and women.
Yeah.
Some coming from immigrant families, just like a lot of immigrants, whether you're talking about World War II or whether you're talking about the Korean War or Vietnam, a lot of immigrants coming in and deciding that they wanted to be a bigger part of this country. And Donald Trump insults our men and women in uniform every day. Every single day, and I will say again, we know him.
Yeah.
But who in the audience continues to cheer as this man trashes are men and women in uniform.
So that is...
You sit and watch cable news.
Yeah.
These young men and women in uniform go through basic training. They kill themselves. They sacrifice their lives. They get assigned to go somewhere across the globe for 3 years. Mm-hmm. For 3 years, committed to one thing: protecting and defending you, protecting and defending your rights, protecting and defending the United States of America. And you trash them? And you vote for a man who trashes them? That is just shameless.
One explanation for that, though, and by the way, that American story is one of the many beautiful things that you can say about America, that commitment to our values, to our Constitution, but one of the reasons why you have those people clapping.
I'm just going to interrupt for a second and say, I think that Anand Giridharadas' little speech last week about Americanness actually... Well, it found a home.
Is not just the idiot's not enough of a word. I think that he has a treasonous personality. This Donald Trump is working for Russia. But
oh,
the reason why these things get clapped for and supported is that it's swallowed not just by them, but they get this information from the network.
Well, you don't think Donald Trump is working for Russia. You think that his actions help Russia.
I think that I don't know what's going on, honestly. I don't know what's going on.
That's interesting. Somebody must have said something in the IFBs. You can't say he's working for Russia. Why the hell not? As Flavio points out, subject line Moscow Mitch, I still think the Russians have compromat on the Republicans, insurrectionists. Remember you said they released dirt on Democrats but remained curiously mum on dirt on Republicans? Well, I mean, what I said is they hacked into both parties' servers and they only released the Democrats' emails. Tis a puzzlement. And Leon Scum is now lying about Biden treason, secret migrant flights, which didn't happen. Yeah.
Oh, and exactly.
I don't know what drives his behavior that benefits Russia. Fair?
Yeah, his behavior. Yeah. When you're constantly undermining the United States military and trashing them and constantly praising Vladimir Putin, I mean, there
but
is.
But by default, it's working for Russia. It's absolutely helpful.
How many times did you go to a military ceremony, especially in the armed services, and you saw these young men and women that have committed their lives and their families have gone along and committed their lives to protecting and defending this country? And yet Donald Trump trashes them. You have that coach from Alabama that says they're weak and woke. You have Ted Cruz saying he'd rather us have Russian troops than American troops. All the insults from Republicans. You have Matt Gaetz going out of his way to trash leaders in the United States military. All of these people trashing our men and women in uniform. It's disgusting.
He's right. She's right. And she's especially right when she says that he is working for Russia. Doing Russia's bidding? You know, I remember the day that because, you know, we were on the air, the day that the news of the pee-pee tape emerged. And, of course, the multimillionaire for-profit media immediately got that wrong. And led people to believe that it was a videotape of, and Nitwit Nero helped out, helped to catapult the propaganda, as Dim Leader used to say, and made it sound like there was a tape of Trump either peeing on Russian hookers or being peed on by Russian hookers, when the actual story was that he hired Russian hookers to come into the suite there and pee on the bed that Barack Obama and Michelle had slept in. Seemed perfectly plausible to me. But, by the same token, I also heard at the same time that the real compromat was to be found in unreleased video of Nitwit Nero having sex with girl children. And again, absolutely, completely, and totally believable, especially when you take into account the things that he has said and done about and with his own daughters. Photographs of him grabbing Iwanka's butt when little Tefania was just tiny, talking about how he hoped that she would have a big rack like her mama. Disgusting things. Putrid things. And again, I don't have any problem believing it. And, you know, Matt, you know, she's an idiot. I don't think that's a strong enough word, she said. And I was sitting there going, say motherfucker. And Matt, by the way, notes, I'm looking for a good bagel subscription. Essa Bagel in Manhattan. Matt, there is no better bagel in the United States of America. And they ship pretty well. Or did. And, oh, they're so good. And their house-made cream cheeses are heavenly. And, of course, the titanium coils on the mother-of-all toasters will work fantastically. Oh, and the governor's race is now set in North Carolina, Stan. Oh, Lee in New York says, why you can't say Nitwit Nero works for Russia? Because he does not work for Russia. He just gets gifts from his good friend. Aren't friends able to give gifts to friends? You know, like Harlan Crowe gives gifts to his good, dear friend Clarence on the pubes on the Coke can Fappy Thomas. But what I was saying is, in North Carolina, Stan, the current sitting Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson will face off against the North Carolina Attorney General, whose name is, I think, Josh Stein. And that's a real something wicked this way comes kind of moment. Curiously, the New York Times profiled Mark Robinson, calling him a, quote, political firebrand, unquote, and a, quote, fiery outsider eager to dive into the culture war, unquote. Here's what they didn't report, and they're catching hell for it, and they damned well deserve it. Because, the lieutenant governor according to the New York Times, has five things people need to know about him. His political career was fueled by online support. He made history as the first black lieutenant governor of North Carolina. His upbringing was difficult. His wife had an abortion decades ago. And he has long held anti-LGBTQ views. Oh, he doesn't just hate the queer community. He'd like to kill us. He calls us things like filth. And, you know, I got to thinking about it. I should probably do, like, content warnings or trigger warnings before I did, but they just, they come along so rapid fire, as it were. This steady stream of hatred is just so breathtakingly awful. Here's the problem, though. What what the old gray lady left out on Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, and he's also Pastor Mark Robinson, is that, a cursory trip by the New York Times over to Right Wing Watch would have would have disclosed to whoever wrote that puff piece he apparently has nice things to say about Hitler. January 6th, 2014. History who said it, number one. Pride in one's own race, and that does not imply contempt for other races, is also a normal and healthy sentiment. I've never regarded the Chinese or the Japanese as being inferior to ourselves. They have the right to be proud of their past, just as we have the right to be proud of the civilization to which we belong. Yeah, that was Mark Robinson. Quoting Hitler. Jewish Insider said he has minimized Nazi atrocities and advanced conspiracy theories about Hollywood and the media using Yiddish ethnic slurs. They also found his efforts to declare solidarity with Israel backfiring by drawing renewed scrutiny to his long history of invoking anti-Semitic conspiracy theories and casting doubt on the Holocaust itself, as Flavio pointed out. It was 2018 when he said the Holocaust was hogwash. This foolishness about Hitler disarming millions of Jews and then marching them off to concentration camps is a bunch of hogwash. Mehdi Hassan, who was let go wrongly from MSNBC, wrote at his site, "The Holocaust as hogwash GOP candidate has also posted quotes from Hitler, encouraged conservatives to start rereading the words of Hitler, and spread a number of bizarre anti-Semitic conspiracies, from claiming that the Marvel movie Black Panther was created by an agnostic Jew and put to film by satanic Marxists that was only created to pull the shekels out of your Schwarze pockets." Schwarze is a Yiddish slur for black folks. He's accused George Soros, a Jew, of having a hand in bringing about the kidnapping of 200 Nigerian schoolgirls by Boko Haram in 2014. But the real encyclopedic, magisterial dive into the toxicity that is Mark Robinson, he comes from a guy named Hunter Walker at Talking Points Memo. At one point, Mark Robinson writing, "There is a reason the liberal media fills the airwaves with programs about Nazi and the 6 million Jews, in scare quotes, they murdered. There's also a reason those same liberals do not fill the airwaves with programs about the communists and the 100+ million people they murdered throughout the 20th century. And so the, not that it will matter to them, but the old gray lady has a lot of egg on her face today. former Chicago Tribune editor Mark Jacob, who is a politics and media observer, said, "You can depend on the New York Times to write soft, cowardly mini profiles of dangerous radicals, in this case, Mark Robinson, the GOP nominee for North Carolina governor." New York Times calls him a firebrand and a fiery outsider, but doesn't mention he's a Holocaust denier. Jared Holt, who researches hate in the United States and extremist movements, he's with the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, said, "This is not how I'd write about someone who's dabbled in Holocaust denial and made a seemingly nonstop string of deeply disgusting and bigoted comments in his career. What's with the kid gloves here?" Well, I mean, the old gray lady has to be genteel and have decorum, don't you understand? And I keep seeing the phrase in these stories about him dabbling in Holocaust denial. At what point of Holocaust denial does it stop being dabbling and just start being full-on adoption? It's his position. David Dharmafal is a political science professor. He said, "The New York Times not mentioning Mark Robinson's anti-Semitism and Holocaust denialism in their headline and subheadline, a morally bankrupt and incompetent newspaper." Dave Mandel said, "This New York Times piece on crackpot gubernatorial candidate Mark Robinson makes no mention of his anti-Semitism, not anti-Zionism. He's a staunch supporter of Israel and Holocaust denial. Holocaust denial is no longer the preserve of outright or crypto-Nazis." Given his anti-queer statements and the things that he said we wish would happen to queer people, it might be beneficial for a country that knows very little history to learn where the Holocaust began, and I don't mean Germany. I mean, certainly, geographically, Germany. But it starts with a different group of people. Another writer, Dean Gloucester, said of the Times, "Mark Robinson, the GOP candidate for North Carolina governor, is a Holocaust denier who calls school shooting survivors prostitutes, says tolerance for gays and lesbians will end civilization, and calls for arresting trans people and calls Michelle Obama a man." You know, don't you wish sometime, oh gosh, how long ago was it that Will Smith slapped the taste out of Chris Rock's mouth? Don't you wish sometimes that someone like Mark Robinson would say that about the former First Lady within the reach of Barack Obama? Because they all hide, and they will not voice their filth and their vulgarity where anyone can get at them. Nobody's going to walk up into his pulpit at his filthy little gospel shop and sucker punch him. It wouldn't be a sucker punch, though, would it? No. Emilio with a note. George Soros kidnapped the Lindbergh baby. Danger of Mark Robinson. Yeah, I know. Ralph says, "It seems as though the old gray lady's gotten a lot of things wrong lately," and asks, "Was my challenge met?" And sadly, Ralph, no. There's $10 to go on it, courtesy of Billable Rick knocking out 15 of it. $10 more and you're challenge will be met. We're almost an hour into the program and a goose egg so far. Hope it doesn't stay that way. And if that gets met, billable adds another 15 to it, taking us from 775 down to 710. My ciphering earlier was off too. 710. That'll get us down to 710. That's for just, you know, 10 small dollars. So hopefully that'll happen. And by the way, Billable had an offer on the table of $30 more for anybody who can come up with a plausible explanation for who wrote the great big government money check, to Kyrsten Sinema to convince her not to run for Senate. So that's out there, too. Finally, in this list of people who were upbraiding the dainty and genteel freaks at the Old Gray Lady, Will Bunch of the Philadelphia Inquirer said there needs to be a New York Times headline generator where you could plug in terms like Holocaust denier and it spits back phrases like fiery outsider eager to dive into the culture war. Yeah. Oh, Christopher, thank you. Christopher just jumped in via Venmo and said, bye, Kyrsten. I'll miss your style, but not your substance, or lack thereof. Well, thank you. Thank you. Christopher, thank you so much. So that means we're actually down to 695. Christopher, that's wonderful of you. Thank you so much. Oh, by the way, Matt in San Francisco, you had a note from Steve in New York saying that I'm free to give you his email if you need any suggestions for great bagels. Essa Bagel is, Steve feels about Essa Bagel the same way I do and the same way Christian Germany does. And it's the bagelist of bagels. Now all we got to do is get Mika to refer to Nitwit Nero as a motherfucker. And you're there. Thank you, Vicky. Vicky helped finish off the challenge, too, and we're down to 685. Thank you so much, Vicky. Ron in Raleigh, who would have knowledge here, being as how he's in Raleigh, and Raleigh is in North Carolina, and Mark Robinson is the lieutenant governor thereof, says that... the thing is that white people don't care that Mark Robinson is a vicious, hateful person that claims to be a Christian pastor, and you wonder why I'm an atheist. No. No, Ron, I don't wonder at all. He has stated that the LGBT community was filth. How can you serve the population of the state when you believe a portion of that population is filth? White Republicans will still vote for him and some misguided black so-called conservatives and Christians. Why am I on this slippery slope to a theocracy? I know. And there's another sort of an example that I will get to momentarily. But that's a great point, Ron. How can you serve an entire population when you think a portion of it is filth? And there are some pretty queer places in North Carolina, Stan. It's my understanding there's a huge LGBTQ community in Charlotte, among other places. I think Asheville is pretty queer and queer accepting. And and by the way, for those of you uncomfortable with that term, I am too. It was used as a weapon against me, but it's being reclaimed, and I'm trying. By the way, Dave in the Blind says, Billable, I believe that the big money check came from Wall Street firms. They need somebody on one of their investment house boards, and the And that courtier is just the kind of bought and paid for individual that they're looking for. I mean, after all, she stepped, and then the message ended. So, because maybe there's only so much room for a message. Oh, dear God. Emilio, stop telling us which bagels to eat, Roxanne, you neo-culino-tyrannical shell. Okay, cowbell for neo-culino-tyrannical. I think I just hurt myself trying to say that. They had there was a hearing today in the Senate of the state of Georgia, and it was about the Fulton County prosecution of Nitwit Nero and his cronies. And counsel for, what's his name, Mike Roman, one of the aforementioned cronies, showed up to speak to the Senate panel, and she got dragged across the coals. Because she, Ashley Merchant, the aforementioned pettifogger, was blathering on about how Fonnie Willis wrongly benefited from the affair that she had with Nathan Wade. And State Senator Howard Jones, not that Howard Jones, no one is to blame, no. And Senator Jones used some, logic.
So it wouldn't necessarily be habit. It's two adults. Bottom line is, it's not extravagant. It's not lavish, is it?
The law only says $100. So.
But it's not lavish.
That's one of the reasons I didn't include all the Ubers. I quite frankly didn't want to do the math. But there were a ton of Ubers on each of these trips. There was a hotel at the beginning of the Royal Bahamas. I didn't include that. I didn't want to do the math. And I also did not want to.
And how much does Ms. Willis make?
200 and something thousand a year.
So your argument is that a person who makes $200,000 a year, mm-hmm, is actually setting up prosecutions to go on a trip that costs $3,500. That's your argument.
No, not in isolation. I mean, you're talking about in isolation.
No, I'm not talking about in isolation. I'm talking about what's in briefs. I don't know what else you may be speculating about. I'm just talking about what's in briefs that says this is the benefit that she got. And all I'm saying is that I've got a person who's making $200,000, and the benefit that you're putting into the briefs, not what you may say that you may find elsewhere, but the benefit in the briefs is I go on a trip with $3,300, $4,400, and they have made up all these prosecutions to go on a three-day cruise for $3,300.
A three-day cruise. Sorry. The weather started getting rough. Hey, quit it.
That's your argument. That's your argument.
That's not.
That's in the brief.
That's not our argument. So, we did argue for about 3 hours. What else is in the brief?
Yes.
A lot of facts, a lot of law.
No, as far as actual financial benefit.
So the financial benefit that I put in the brief was what I could prove. I did not want to have any, as you call it, speculation. I did not want to speculate about anything else. So I did not know if Mr. Wade paid for an Uber that Ms. Willis was literally sitting in at the same time. You can kind of assume, because it's from the airport to the hotel, but I did not want to speculate to that. So I didn't include those in the numbers.
Ooh, she's almost as awful at lawyering as counsel for the parking garage. I mean, Senator Jones's argument is pretty sound. You're going to risk your career. Not just your $200,000 a year salary, which comes to $800,000 over the course of a 4-year term. You're going to put all of that at risk, plus the prosecution, plus your reputation, plus your career to go bobbing out into the Caribbean and the Bahamas to get some D that you could just as easily get at home. I'm an old, so forgive me if there are aspects of this that smell like, a little bit like, not quite as much of a setup as, but it smells like the monkey business. And what was done to Gary Hart long, long, long ago. I think Gary Hart would have made a good president. And that photograph that is now enshrined in the national zeitgeist of what was her name? That photograph lasted. She was on, Donna Rice was on Gary Hart's lap for probably less than a second, and then bounced up and away as soon as the photograph was snapped. And the next thing you know, it's on the pages of the National Enquirer. The 1988 campaign. It's Lee in New York says, not a three-day cruise. It was a three-hour tour, but in this case, obligatory Gilligan's Island reference. I know I was updating it for the moment. Donna Rice, Ralphs. I thought, see, Fawn Hall was who came to mind for me, too. See, there was an era there. There was Donna Rice, and there was Fawn Hall, and Fawn Hall was... she was part of the Ollie North escapade. And then who was the woman with Jim Baker, who was not Tammy Faye? And she went on and did a rock and roll video with Sam Kinison, if I recall correctly. Yeah. I said that there was a, and this ties in with Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Let me get it pulled up here. We're into the second hour of the program. If you'd like to engage in any conversation, you're more than welcome to jump in. Stress line, 844-843-4676. 844, the horn. And the other phone number, 304-574-8178. And, of course, there's Skype, Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, one word, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. Thank you. Thank you, Kim in New York. Reverend Baker's chickie. Jessica Hahn. See, there was about a half a brain cell that was saying Jessica Hahn, Jessica Hahn, Fawn Hall, Jessica Hahn, Donna Rice. Each name has a soft O sound to it. My brain is weird. Now. Matt reminding me as well. Jessica Hahn. I know my harlots. We had a
a court ruling out of North Dakotistan yesterday from U.S. District Judge Daniel Traynor there in Bismarck. Here we go again. He has now ruled that it's basically Hobby Lobby Redux. It's another one of those cases by an AstroTurf outfit, in this case, the Christian Employers Alliance. And this Judge Traynor, let's look him up. Daniel Traynor. Oh, he's practically a child. He is a MAGAT appointee. He's around 53 years old. And Nitwit Nero appointed him to the federal bench in North Dakota, and he has now ruled that the U.S. Equal Opportunity Employment Commission and the Department of Health and Human Services cannot compel Christian employers to provide gender-affirming care for trans people. Generally speaking, the Affordable Care Act says that that insurers must cover transition care. And you probably already know who the aggrieved pettifoggers were on this case. It's the Alliance Demeaning Freedom. Matt Bowman, who said, the court was on firm ground to stop the administration from enforcing these unlawful mandates that disrespect people of faith. How about that? Compelling gender-affirming care insults people of faith. Well, since it is prayer meeting Wednesday, I'll just say I wish that some of the queer-friendly Christian groups, or other religions for that matter, could find the courage to tell that piece of shit Matt Bowman that he does not get to speak for them. I wish people of faith would actually say that to him. Because the only people Matt Bowman and his other petty fog and grifters at the Alliance Demeaning Freedom speaks for are the bigots that they represent in their tax-exempt grift scam. How do I know this is a setup? Because when the Christian Employers Association was created, their bylaws, they went out of their way to put into their bylaws that male and female are immutable realities defined by biological sex. And also in their bylaws, and I can't imagine why it would be in their bylaws, because they don't have any trans people in their company. Gender reassignment is contrary to Christian values. What a load of horseshit. There's nothing in the Bible whatsoever about trans people, except for that passage in Leviticus or Numbers or where the fuck ever it is, where God apparently told a bunch of desert-dwelling nomads that men can't dress like women and women cannot put on the raiment of a man. The only problem being that they were all wearing dresses at the time, and it must have been somewhat confusing. But again, no civilization makes laws, using the word loosely there, civilization. No cultural group makes rules unless somebody's already doing something and, you know, the mullahs or whatever want them to stop it. Judge Traynor went on to say that gender-affirming treatments, tomorrow's my stabby stabby day, gender-affirming treatments substantially burden a sincere religious exercise or belief. Well, tell me fucking how your goddamned honor. So am I to understand that somewhere in Washington, D.C., in some office building, there are a bunch of babbling, floor-rolling, strychnine-swilling, serpent-handling, Crisco-pouring Christians whose day I ruin by just existing? Your sincere expression of faith. Fuck all them. If hell was real, I would happily sit outside the gates of it and tease these motherfuckers with ice water while they roasted. But being a maggot and a Republican, he said, well, the government didn't show that it could, it couldn't protect transgender employee rights some other way, like giving them a tax credit or a subsidy. A lot of trans people are poor as Job's turkey because they're already outside of a lot of employability. Many of them don't even make enough money to file taxes. But see, what's important out of this is to note that the Christian Employers Association was very likely created solely to provide a plaintiff for this filthy little grift, the Alliance Demeaning Freedom. In that respect, it's a lot like 303 Creative, where the Alliance Demeaning Freedom created an entirely fictional potential customer for the Christian alleged bigot, she's going to hell too, by the way, who didn't want to make wedding websites for queers. They just didn't have a real queer. So they made one up out of a straight dude, married to a woman. And at no point in time, I mean, I don't have the file in front of me. But jurisdictionally, and I'm asking any of the legal legal eagle portion of the Horn Family Community Congregation. This is only the opinion of a non-lawyer. But at some point in time, you should have to meet some sort of a jurisdictional element, like forcing the Alliance Demeaning Freedom to disclose how many trans employees the Christian Employers Association has. And this ruling will probably go up to our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties, because this ruling is in direct conflict with the holding in Bostock, which says you may not discriminate against people on the basis of their gender identity. And old Balls and Strikes Roberts was in the majority on that case. Anybody? Because otherwise, this just sounds like an exercise in fraud upon the court that would get a meat and potatoes small town lawyer bounced out of court, and if not the bar, for deliberately defrauding the court. In point of fact, let's see where. I had another story here that was right on point. Oh well. Now what's a little fraud on the court here and there? Yeah. In the meantime, though, let's run over to the stress line, see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Happy prayer meeting, Robin.
Well, hey, Dave.
I was telling Bill before PayPal cut me off, is that Kirchen Kristen has stepped on everybody's supporters, especially the LGBTQ plus communities. And she's a wholly bought and paid for entity of Wall Street. She's already got her golden parachute. So why bother with being a senator? She can make a lot more coin on some investment bank's board. I mean, that's where the big money check has come from for her for the longest time. When she became an independent, she was getting a lot of money from Wall Street firms. So, I believe that Nita really should say motherfucker on the air, just because Matt has been hoping against hope to get a nice toaster. And I would say you probably need to get him one of those toaster ovens that do the have a little tray, and he can put his bagels on there and you know, have his schmears ready to go, and life will be happy for him. So Mika, just say motherfucker and get it over with. Yes. The FCC will have issues, but
well, the only thing I'm not sure about regarding this little wager is if she calls him a motherfucker off air, does it still count?
Oh, you know she has.
Well, then we need the hot mic recording.
Joe has come close to saying it. I've been listening in the morning because I listened to it on TuneIn, and I've been listening in the morning, and he's come awfully damn close. They've had to bleed him a couple of times in the last couple of months. You know, and I'm sure standards and practices is thanking God that we've got a time delay.
I have a feeling that was who was in their ear this morning when Mika said Trump is working for Russia.
Well, I don't see where that's in your standard and practice of business.
Well, you know, libel, slander, defamation.
Okay. But
truth is an absolute defense.
I was going to say, I think we can pretty much show that.
This isn't the UK. Truth is an absolute defense still.
Well, under a nitwit narrow dictatorship, it won't be.
Well, Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Fappy Thomas has said repeatedly he wants someone to bring him a case with which he can overrule New York Times versus Sullivan and Falwell v. Hustler. And all the progeny in between?
Here's the thing. Falwell v. Hustler was simply a First Amendment case. It reaffirmed the fact that parody of a public figure and Jerry Boswell definitely was a public figure.
Oh, hold on there. Jerry Boswell. I think that's more Jerry Jr., you know, with the tennis ball and the duct tape and
he's Jerry Ball Dad. See? Jerry Jr. is just Jerry Ball Dad. Fuck off! You know, that kind of thing. But, I am waiting for the day when either Joe or Mika sits there and calls him a goddamn motherfucker right there on the air. But here's the thing.
Well, it'll be a great day. It'll be a great day for America when she does.
Well, but Robin, now, you know, I come from a religious tradition that says that, you know, repentance is the goal of all good Christians. And Joe and Mika got a lot to repent for. After all, if they hadn't been so cozying up to Donnie back in 16, we might not have the kind of problems we got with it now.
You're not wrong.
He got $2 billion worth of free ride on things like Morning Joe throughout the campaign. And that just so happens to be about the amount the United States government will spend on running the presidential election. And sorry, maggots, it is going to be fair and it is going to be safe. And you can set your hair on fire and say there's a conspiracy against Donald. But Donald is Donald's own worst enemy.
I wish he was a little better at it.
Well, he wants to be different from his daddy. He wants to have his meltdown in public. I loved the Lincoln Project where they had somebody pretending to be Fred saying how disappointed he was in Donnie.
Yeah, that was the AI ad where they said Donald's been accusing us of using
AI.
Yeah. Well, here's real AI. Donnie, you've always been a loser. You couldn't even run a casino. That had to stink.
Well, how do you lose money on a casino?
Still haven't sorted that one out, Dave.
Playing it. I mean, I've been to several casinos over the years, and I know going in that it's designed to...
There's a reason that the first rule of casinos is the house always wins.
Even if I had my landlord is a degenerate card player. And when I say degenerate card player, he admitted to me a couple of years ago that one year he lost $80,000 in one night.
Well, you said degenerate. I was wondering if he was like that moral values guy from years back who wrote, what was the name of the book? I can't remember. But it turned out that...
The Book of Virtues?
Yes, Bill Bennett. Yes.
Right, that was Ashcroft.
No, the Book of Virtues was Bill Bennett.
Oh, okay.
And then it came out that Bill Bennett actually had a thing for playing naked slots in his high roller suite. I always imagined him covered in Cheeto dust. Trust me, it wasn't a turn on. They're just perverts.
Something about Cheeto dust, it just doesn't do it for you. I'm sorry, that's bad.
Something about Bill Bennett doesn't do it for me.
Okay, that I completely.
I don't want there to be any confusion here.
Let's not blame the Cheeto dust. When the real problem is Bill Bennett. Yeah.
I mean,
at least. Cheeto dust has a purpose.
Orange blossom water would be obnoxious if they were baptizing Bill Bennett with it.
By the way, the
best homemade baklava I ever had was by a friend of mine, and she fragranced her baklava with orange blossom water.
Ooh, that sounds tasty.
By the way, a minute ago, Emilio said, "Stop being disingenuous, Robin. You know Jesus set fire to the SRS clinic in Galilee." Of course he did. Of course they did.
Well, the only problem with these Christians is they're not very Christ-like.
Well, that's what Gandhi said, Dave. I like your Christ.
I
do not like your Christians. Right. They're so unlike your Christ.
And his point was that they were hypocrites.
Uh-huh.
But Gandhi, evidently his family temple, the priest there would preach from the Gospels and from various Hindu texts and Buddhist texts. And what Gandhi learned as a young man was that wisdom can come from many places, and you can learn things
from different people.
That's what made him so effective.
Since it is prayer meeting Wednesday, I guess we can take note of the fact that there's an argument, there's a tradition behind it, that the first, before it ever really branched out into the Mediterranean world, you know, Greece, the Italian peninsula, etc., that one of the first places the nascent thing known as that would become known as Christianity went was India.
I don't doubt it. Because Alexander the Great had reached India.
Oh, by the way, I just got a note from Steve in New York who said, breaking news. I'm not certain, but I'm pretty sure that removing Curtsy and Kirsten Sinema from the family is on the agenda for the next meeting. You should be receiving your ballot soon. Oh, yay. It'll be my first time voting as a family member.
Well, now remember, Robin, you have to have a good cocktail party after you fill out your ballot.
I will.
A nice dinner party.
I will stop by the store and pick myself up a Jeroboam of Old Panther.
Right, and make sure you have plenty of snacks on the smoker, and because you don't want your guests to have an empty plate.
Oh, heavens no.
That reminds me,
I need to check in with Cynthia. Cynthia, are we still on for our bi-coastal burn-in tomorrow? Just let me know. I want it to be a thing.
Oh, speaking of tomorrow. Now, you know, I generally make a big deal out of the State of the Union address.
Yes, I do.
Because I'm a political junkie, except for the 4 years where there was no president. That we're going to have Joe Biden standing before the Congress and making this speech. I've got my snacks ready to go. A friend of mine picked up some Girl Scout cookies. Reminder, folks, it's Girl Scout cookie season. And that money.
Well, I am in point of fact, I'm glad you mentioned that because tomorrow, when at the same time that I go get myself a big bag of charcoal, I'm also stopping to pick up 4 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. And I buy them.
I've got my Thin Mints. I just finished my trifoils. And I've got some of the peanut butter cookies.
I'm getting Thin Mints
I'm ready to go.
Before I leave, I'll just crush up a couple of Metformans and snort a few rails and.
And if you have to, just mainline it.
You could just mainline it. You're right. Let's see. I've got Thin Mints and I've got Trefoils. And I've got.
And they go great with a good cup of coffee. Put them in the refrigerator for a couple of hours. Brew up some of that decaf that you like, and then enjoy with.
You are so right about the trefoils, but Thin Mints trefoils. Loop-de-doos or whatever, the ones with the coconut and the caramel. I'm coming up with every word but what it is. Scalawags? No.
They used
carpet
to
baggers.
Have a beet flavored. They used to have a beet flavored cookie.
Beet?
Back in the 1920s. Beets. It only was around for 1 year because they didn't sell well.
I can't imagine they did.
Now, the only thing I could think of, it could have been a sugar cookie because beet sugar is a thing.
Okay, tag-alongs. Thank you. Kim in New York, thank you. Girl, I love you. Tag-alongs.
Well, you know what it is, Robin. Growing up, they didn't let you in the Girl Scouts. That's why you didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
So, I worry about guys like that.
No, Samoas. Samoas. There they are. So I've got trefoils and thin mints and Samoas and lemonades.
Oh, God, that sounds good. But why in the hell? And this has to do with the millennialist bent in the Republican Party. That all of a sudden, even though the historical record is absolutely clear, that the founding hucksters did not want the establishment of a state religion, and therefore the United States was not founded as a Christian nation. The only reason they've got that is that it's one of the tenets of fascism. That those who believe differently than you are not Christians and therefore are worthy of being wiped from the earth. And I worry because a few years ago, a friend of Christine's, a young trans woman that she worked with, was shot to death on the streets of Indianapolis. And her murder has never been solved. Frankly, I don't think it was looked into closely anyway. But I met this young woman once, and she was a very nice lady, and she is one of the few people I know in their early 30s who could rock a Catholic schoolgirl outfit, go to work and proudly wear it, and make it look good. So I worry about these kinds of things because this is Taliban, Indiana. And if you don't know it by now, we're in the middle of God's country. Well, if it actually was God's country, you think
well,
you'd pay
a little
more
country,
attention to
what's around. If this is God's country, and he's the knows-all, bees-all, sees-all, tells-nothing, create grand poobah creator of the universe, he's doing a pretty shitty job.
You know what it is? He was non-union. Because that's another article of their faith. Unions is communist.
Well, that's why the corporations backed Billy Graham all those years ago.
I hate to tell them this, but if you're using the strictest definition of communism, I mean, living in a communal situation, the early Christians were communists. And at the time period of that Jesus said to have died, there were only 20 Christians. 20 followers of Jesus. Four centuries later, they ruled an empire.
Yeah. That's a,
he wasn't
much of a writer, but Saul, who went on the lam and changed his name to Paul, was a hell of a marketer. He was the world's first marketing genius.
Whoa, are you talking about the time he killed the couple for keeping back a few shekels from the sale of their home? They didn't give everything to the community, so he prayed that God would strike them down, and well, of course God did, according to them. If that's the same Paul of Tarsus that we're talking about, yeah, he's a murderer too. So.
And speaking of the lousy job that the Almighty does, we all know that the most Christian business in the world, no, not the Vatican, Chick-fil-A. The owner of a Chick-fil-A restaurant in St. Clairsville, Ohio. I'm sorry, Belmont, Ohio, nearby, has been charged with statutory rape. Because 49, oh. yeah, God, the owner of a Jesus chicken store got in the car in his home in Belmont, Ohio, drove to, and I'm going to need some help from Ron and Raleigh here. Now, in Kentucky, R-O-W-A-N County is Round County. Is it Rowan or Round in North Carolina? Regardless, this owner of the Jesus chicken franchise got in a car in Belmont, Ohio, drove to Round County, Rowan County, North Carolina, and had sexy time with a 15-year-old. WTRF-TV, WTRF-TV Channel 7 Wheeling reporting, well, they don't report the gender of the victim. The victim was 15 years old. And
well, that's because they're a minor.
Yeah, and but WTRF refers to the 15-year-old victim as them. So apparently they-them is appropriate, despite anything that the West Virginia legislature might say.
Well,
and
God knows that most of the West Virginia legislature can't read. So,
well, there's that.
That doesn't surprise me.
But it's interesting insofar as this good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian got busted because when the child's parent came home, the parent found the door unlocked and open, and called in a B&E to the local constabulary, who showed up and found 49-year-old Stacy Lee Austin with the 15-year-old. They also found Stacy Lee Austin, good God-fearing, etc. Christian. They found his underwear in the trash as well as that of the child. Jesus loves the little children. You're not Jesus. Get your hand off my kid.
Don't trust Republicans.
And wait, we're not done. He had been interacting with the child on a social media platform. Wait for it. Yeah. He's a groomer. But of course, he's not trans or not a drag queen or not queer of any sort. So he won't be identified as such. And Nazis won't march against him. And the Moms for Liberty will be as silent as a graven image. The Alliance Demeaning Freedom won't have anything to say, and it won't be preached about in any pulpits, whether it be Belmont, Ohio, or Round County, North Carolina. or anywhere else in this most puissant Christian nation.
Will they be preaching it at Belmont Park before the races?
I don't think that it's a different Belmont, Dave.
Oh, okay.
And now you get to do the Emily Letella thing. Never mind.
The Cincinnati Elephant thing.
Never mind.
Yeah. Well, at least I haven't gotten the hook yet. Oh.
Okay, so it's Rowan. It's Rowan County in North Carolina. I don't know how they mispronounced it in Kentucky.
Well, it's Kentucky. I mean, Indiana's just as bad. We have a town that's spelled just like the town in Scotland, Edinburgh, but they call it Edinburgh here. In Alaska, they have Valdez, Alaska. It's spelled just the same as Valdez, Spain, but
yes, we all remember the Exxon Valdez.
My dad was in the jury pool for that. He has to be excused and was. But he actually got a jury summons for that case.
Wow.
Well, he was living in Alaska. Now, and I've had a federal jury questionnaire sent to me at one time by email. They do it all by email now.
That would have been a hell of a jury.
I didn't get that.
That would have been a hell of a jury to have to sit on.
Summons. Yeah, that would have been. But Dad was working as a realtor, and he felt that it would harm his business, and asked to be excused, and they did. But yeah, he actually got summoned to the jury pool, and he said they were taking him in at like 200 at a time to see the jury for that case.
Probably pretty easy though, you know. Okay, you're next 200. Everybody here who hates Exxon, raise your hand. You're excused.
I think it took them a couple of months to get through that whole process. And they sent out thousands of questionnaires. But it didn't help Exxon. And especially when the captain of the ship they were responsible for had been drinking.
To put it mildly.
My favorite thing was that Ted Stevens, one of the most corrupt politicians in American history, claimed that he would eat fish out of Prince William Sound within a year. Of course, he never did. But the best thing that man did was die in a plane crash. The problem is that an honest-to-God astronaut also died in that crash. Now, if Ted Williams had gone up by himself, and pulled a John Denver.
Dave, that was uncalled for, pulled a John Denver.
Well, Mr. Dusseldorf was drunk at the time.
Dutchendorf.
And he was...
Dutchendorf.
But he was drunk at the time, and he was in an aircraft that he wasn't familiar with.
It was an ultralight, wasn't it?
It was something. I forget, but he was an experienced pilot. His dad used to work for Learjet, training pilots on how to handle the Learjets. So, I mean, it's not like he didn't understand, you know, you don't drink and fly.
Of course not. You might spill your drink. Sorry, that's obligatory. By the way, you started something. We started something with the Girl Scout cookies. Flavio says, my favorites are the shortbread ones. Steve in New York said, kookaburras. Yeah. No, they've actually got a separate. There's a shortbread and the trefoils. They're separate creatures.
Yeah, but the trifles are really a shortbread.
I agree. But when I made my banana pudding at Thanksgiving, I couldn't find Lorna Doones, so I used Chessmen, the Pepperidge Farm Chessmen. Worked out just as well. Only I did something this time through that I thought was super cute. I made them in muffin tins, so there were little individual banana puddings.
Isn't that what you took to the Friendsgiving thing?
Yes.
You were going to?
Yeah, and yeah. It would, poof, gone.
Yeah,
And I've become so enamored of this Buffalo Wild Wings garlic parmesan sauce. I looked at Annette the other day, and I said, it's good, isn't it? She said, well, it's delicious. I said, you know what this would do really well in? And she said, what? And I said, deviled eggs. She went, yes.
Oh. I'd like to be deported back to the United States, Robin. I'll turn myself in if they'll be
there. Yeah, from wherever the hell this is. And that's convinced that we actually transported into a different dimension when we went on the Libboat cruise all those years ago. Because we did sail through the Bermuda Triangle, you know.
So you and Annette are not the you and Annette that got on board the ship and went through the
Triangle. Nobody is.
You're what came back.
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. And I have only one question. How long have you been off your meds?
It's not my theory, Dave.
All right. That is a little weird.
I mean, she seems to think it explains a lot of questions, answers a lot of questions. So how's Christine?
Christine is doing well.
I'm glad.
She will be going back to Chicago on the 10th, having completed her, Hold on.
Getting a call?
I can take care of it later. She's doing well. She's going back to Chicago on the 10th. Her isolation from COVID is now over. And she says hopefully she'll be back home for my birthday.
Aww. So,
well, we haven't been able to, like, have lunch together on my birthday or anything like that for the last few years. 3 years ago, in April, she came out of a coma.
Wow, it's been that long.
And it's been that long. It's been that long, and the progress she's made over the last 3 years, getting back to doing as much as she can, is simply amazing. Of course, I didn't expect anything else from Chris. She's nothing if not stubborn. So, I will talk to you later, Roger.
All right, Dave. You have a good evening, my friend. Say hi to the gang down at the down at the shop.
Well, you know, we are having a.
Well, I mean, your Easter special should be coming up, right?
Well, I mean, it is our busy season. You know, we're up to like 300 or 400 crucifixions a day. We're laying on 3 shifts at this point. Business is good, but I can't wait for Easter because it kind of drops off afterward. And you still get a few of your hardcore right-wing douchebags who want to jump up on the cross. And that's usually the time of year they try to pogo stick up by themselves and not use proper crucifixion specialist to make sure they get nailed in properly.
INRI, I'm nailed right in.
However, this year, we're looking for volunteers to make the first living rosary out of enough of clients and just have them all crucified in a great big circle and then have a few dangling off to the side there.
Dangling.
Dangling.
Wait. Put it. Dangling. That's cute. Yeah.
Well,
I get
you
it.
You got that short little piece of chain there. We're looking for volunteers to make a living rosary. And by the way, while you're talking about Christian cinema, let us not forget Joe to the Mansion Born. My advice to Joe.
I'm trying.
My advice to Joe. Hang on to the rosary beads here, Joey. Because almost heaven is about as close as you're ever going to get to that place.
Oh, well played.
All right.
All right, Dave. You have a good night. Bye. Our buddy Dave in the blind. Thank you, Cynthia. Yes, still planning on burning it in. Couldn't do it today as I have 3/4 inches of on and off rain since midnight, and it's still threatening more. I had thunder and lightning too, which is cool. We hardly ever get that here. Otherwise, can I burn my acorn in with regular charcoal briquettes, or should I only use the lump charcoal I bought for smoking in it? You can use the briquettes, but this is where being a purist comes in. I'm going to burn mine in with lump charcoal simply because there are so many other things. You know, Kingsford charcoal is here in West Virginia. And, well, like everything else West Virginia, Kingsford charcoal has, well, coal in it. So, you don't have to make a big conflagration. Just use it as an opportunity to learn to manage your temperature with the damper and the chimney. I can't wait until you start cooking on it, Cynthia. So tomorrow. I'll get my charcoal while I'm picking up my Girl Scout cookies, and we will in fact have a bicoastal burn-in. Oh, and Cynthia says, by the way, I'm going to take this opportunity to barbecue some British bangers on my old Weber that I have on hand. Might as well, as I like the things. I don't think I've ever had a banger. I know you have bangers and mash. I don't know how they're seasoned. They look roughly the same shape as a brat, but I know a brat is seasoned differently. My sis Terry was telling me about a flatbread pizza she had last week that was Kanekka sausage and marinara and mozzarella and green peppers on a piece of flatbread. I've been on a paratha binge lately, and I got to thinking, ooh, I bet a piece of paratha would make a really nice flatbread pizza. So I'm gonna get some Kanekka and try it that way. Yum. Enjoy, Cynthia. Enjoy. Emilio says, thin mints forever. I've made my own. No singing. So we're at 685. If that's where we end this evening, we'll be at 985 tomorrow. It would be great if we could bring it down to like, six. That's $85 away. Thanks to everybody who met Ralph's challenge. A little program note, by the way, now that we're into the third hour of the program. Little program note, I hate to miss, but sometimes I feel like there are things that are important. And so in Charleston on Friday, there is a big transliberation rally. And I need to be there with my sisters and my brothers and my nibblings. It's set to start at 2. It probably won't last much past 4, but the odds of me getting back here in time for Friday on the front porch are pretty slim. So bear that in mind. Christopher in Oregon with a note. Crazy Dave's Crucifixion's Easter special. Happy Wednesday, Horn family. Dave, are you and folks at the shop getting North Carolina's finest Mark Robinson's cross already so he can jump up on it when the punditry calls him out for his knucking futziness? Each day crazier than last, y'all. Oh, and you know he's got his pogo stick ready. But he doesn't have anything to worry about, at least not from the New York Times, Christopher. Emilio says, I use propane so you taste the meat, not the heat. That girl ain't right. What? A propane grill has its place for, like, doing, grilled hot dogs and hamburgers and stuff. I've actually got a Weber Genesis. It was the year that the thing came out. I've replaced the innards on it a couple of times. But it's actually older than Ferg. My father and I put it together on the porch of our house over in Roane County and brought it with us here. And it's the best gas grill I've ever owned because the burners are set up in such a way. The burners run horizontally instead of vertically. Not vertically. Language is all screwed up. But anyway, they run left to right, back and forth. And so you can set it, if you turn the middle one off and you turn the front one on and you turn the back one and you set up a convection current, and it's really great for doing beer can chicken. Oh, and Cynthia, if you ever have occasion to smoke a turkey in your acorn, you may never have turkey any other way ever again. It yields up this beautiful mahogany skin with the tang and and the smoke and yeah. Going back to a minute for the story coming out of North Dakota, Stan. Well, back up. Brother Deacon Asa says, y'all are a bunch of pansies. I burned my acorn in with bituminous coal, the way God intended it. Yes. Tasty. But in regard to the case coming out of North Dakota, Stan, that legal fraud, that fraud upon the court, regarding the ADF, Brother Deacon Asa says, just curious, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say that gender reassignment is against Christian values. How exactly is freedom being defended by denying medical services to an entire class of people? Ah, therein lies the rub, Brother Deacon. We're not a class of people because we're not really people. And just like Palestinians, there's not actually any such thing as a trans person. See how it works? Isn't it funny how the bigotry just is so transferable? See what I did there? Don't try this at home. Pity it's not Monday or Tuesday, because Elise Stupidnik would be perfect. This story would be perfect for either Titanic Tuesday or Moran Monday, but it'll have to work for prayer meeting Wednesday. Elise Stupidnik, the congresswoman from New York, what the f*** is wrong with the people in her district? Apparently a lot. Well, in barking and grunting and hooting and crowing over Nitwit Nero winning Super Tuesday yesterday, she was at a press conference where she asked a question.
As Ronald Reagan famously asked us, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? The answer for hardworking Americans across the country is a resounding no.
Yeah, oops. There's a reason she's not doing the response to the State of the Union. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And nobody around her, none of the maggots around her, said, hey, Elsie, maybe that's not the question to ask. Because even with my poor ciphering skills, I'm quite well aware that 2024 minus 4 equals 2020. Anybody else happen to remember March of 2020? I do, and traumatically so. I remember the horror stories coming out of cities where hospitals were overwhelmed, where bodies were piling up. I remember how the Trump pandemic roared through Italy. I remember how Chinese authorities were literally welding people into their homes, welding their doors closed. And I remember how a million Americans died. What a horror she is. There are a million of those hardworking Americans who just aren't here anymore because of her orange god emperor and people like her herself. A senior fellow at Media Matters by the name of Matt Gertz, not Gates, Gertz, said 4 years ago today, Donald Trump was explaining that this new virus going around was no big deal because people on Fox News were telling him that a lot of people die from the flu. At No Dem Left Behind, they said nobody wants to even think about 4 years ago. Trump in office and a deadly pandemic was beginning to spread. This series of events ended up changing all of our lives for the worse. MAGA has the dumbest messaging of all time. Hospitals were busy. Undertakers made bank. Another individual said, I was told to inject bleach by the president 4 years ago amid a global pandemic that was supposedly going to go away by Easter. It didn't. Oh gosh, says Cynthia. Smoked turkey? Oh my. Actually, I know it's crazy good as I've had it before. And the fellow who did it did a smashing good job on it. It was to die for. Oh, well, I should probably throw away any idea I had of dieting and losing weight. These days I seem to gain weight just by looking at and smelling good food. Oh, I'm trying, Roxanne, I'm trying. Honey, it's all protein. Eat all you want. There's no carbs. And with that Dreamland sauce that you're getting for your ribs, again, where's the problem? See, this is how I do it. I'm dieting. It's the barbecue diet. It's right. And when you get and when you get that hickory bacon flavor and yeah. And we'll go on and we'll work through. You're gonna have to call some friends over, Cynthia, because like the trifold pork loin, it's too much for one girl. It's so good. Damn. God, I got 45 minutes left in the program and I'm starving. I shouldn't be, but I am. Didn't eat much today. Let's see, what was it? Yeah, I had a bowl of hominy today. And, you know, in honor of Tracy's pay on to Lowry's season sale yesterday. I heated up my hominy and put butter on it and then hammered it with Lowry's. It was yummy. Some days I'm kind of vegetarian. But just some days. Saving myself for the ribs. I'll pick up my ribs tomorrow, too, and get them all seasoned up and then brine them on Friday morning and smoke them on Saturday. I'm so excited. I haven't done this in 2 years. Curiouser and curiouser. Oh, and Kim in New York. Mitch McConnell proves again he's an unethical, immoral fuck. Even as he leaves the minority leadership, Kim says he endorses Trump for president. He just doesn't have the morals or ethics to do the right thing. His endorsement.
It is abundantly clear that former President Trump has earned the requisite support of Republican voters to be our nominee for president of the United States. It should come as no surprise that as nominee, he will have my support. During his presidency, we worked together to accomplish great things for the American people, including tax reform that supercharged our economy and a generational change of our federal judiciary, most importantly, the Supreme Court.
What an asshole. I associate myself with your remarks, Kim. He could have done the decent thing. He could have done the American thing. And bragging about that crippling tax cut, and no, it did not supercharge the economy. It just lined the pockets of his pals on Wall Street. He could have done the right thing, but of course he, well, didn't. Contrast that with Liz Cheney. Now, I have said, I've said some things about Liz, namely that in what she did the bare minimum that she could to honor her oath, but it became an extraordinary thing because of the number of maggots who simply could not. And so today, shortly after Mrs. Governor, Ambassador, Speaker of the House, Haley, bailed out. Liz Cheney wrote, "The GOP has chosen. They will nominate a man who attempted to overturn an election and seize power. We have 8 months to save our republic and ensure Donald Trump is never anywhere near the Oval Office again." Still, though, she just can't bring herself to outright endorse President Biden when that is the decent thing, the American thing to do. And I always remember the fact that she had a 95% voting record with Nitwit Nero. So that actually does give her a little bit of credibility with the GQP. But that's not the GQP of her daddy and slaughtering a million innocent Iraqi civilians. Nope, it's just not. There's some indication that, well, we talked about it. He's not getting the numbers that he needs. When half the Haley voters say, when 49% of the Haley voters say they're either going to vote for Joe Biden, vote for someone else that isn't Trump, or not vote at all. That's telling. I'm all for the not vote at all crowd. Steve in New York. Okay, mock me, Steve. Mock me. Mitch could have done the decent thing. I fell off my seat laughing. I understand. Emilio, don't make this harder than it is. How many grits and how many hominy? 150,000 grits and 110 hominies. Homina, homina, hominy. Somewhere, Reverbo just grinned. We had Mika earlier, just pulling up short of the magic MF word. But, Joe had his own Jeremy ad to deliver. Oh, and by the way, in Arkansas, President Biden got 88.5% of the vote to 4.8% of the vote for Marianne Moonbeam. The other part was, I suppose, the protest vote. But Joe was... they're going to have to start putting a fife and drum corps behind him when he does this stuff. You know, kind of like Green Acres.
Willie, despite the fact that Donald Trump is doing very well last night and his side of the ring, a side that's lost 7 years in a row and is sure to lose again this year if Democrats work hard and independents work hard, he kept trashing America. Like, that's Donald Trump's message. You know, Ronald Reagan would talk about how we are a city shining brightly on the hill for all the world to see. Donald Trump's message is America sucks. It was America sucks before he got elected. Carnage. It's America sucks now. He talked about American carnage even after he got elected. He lied about an illegal invasion when Barack Obama and Joe Biden had rates at 50-year lows when he was going in January of 2017 for illegal border crossings. But last night, over and over again, we're a third world country. Yeah. Oh, are we really? Oh, I didn't know that third world countries had unemployment below 4%.
Hey, wait a minute. Was he getting perilously close to doing a Trump impression? Hi, Joe.
2 years running for the first time since the 1960s. Inflation down to 3.1%, historically low. You look at our GDP, compare that to the rest of the world, not third world, first world. We're doing better than all of our friends. We're doing better than all of our allies. We're doing better than all of our people who consider themselves to be America's enemies. Our economy is stronger than ever relative to the rest of the world. Our military is stronger than ever relative to the rest of the world. Culturally, we are stronger than ever relative to the rest of the world. And I'm not being flip when I say, look at Taylor Swift in Australia. Look at the clothes that people are wearing in China. Look at the fashions people are wearing across the United States, more powerful culturally, more powerful economically, more powerful militarily than ever before. And I don't know, I'm an American, so I'm kind of proud of that. And we fret about a movement that is based on the proposition that the United States of America sucks. That is Donald Trump's message.
Well, that is something to
that is
about.
Donald Trump's message. And I will say, if Fox News goes around talking about how America sucks, or Newsmax talks about America sucks, they're liars. They are liars. They will find a trans athlete that competed in a race 2 years ago, run it all day, and forget to tell everybody that jobless rates are lower now.
Or that Donald Trump is in fact indicted.
Anytime since the 1960s. Or they won't talk about the surveys. They'll say, oh my God, they let somebody read a poem on a ship. We're too woke to fight a war.
And then the flag is falling.
Study after another study after another study that shows, let me say it again, the United States militarily, far from being woke and weak, more powerful relative to the rest of the world's militaries than any time since 1945. That's a crazy thing. Donald Trump's campaign is based on so many lies. To me, the most offensive is that we're a third world country, that our economy sucks, that our military sucks, that our democracy sucks, when in fact, just the opposite is true. We are the greatest in the world. I'm proud to be an American. This is the greatest country in the world. And yet Donald Trump wins votes. What's wrong with you people? Why do you hate America? Why do you vote for a guy that says America is terrible? That it's a third world country? When Willie, all the evidence is to the contrary. This is why they lose every year, because they run campaigns dedicated to trashing the greatest country on the face of the earth.
And that was exactly, to your point, his speech last night, his victory speech, which he looked exhausted, by the way. I don't know what's going on there.
I feel sorry for him.
Kind of muttering.
He's just so beaten up.
Muttering through a meandering speech. But that was you're exactly right. He talked about our economy being a disaster, which is actually not true at all. Yes, inflation is too high. There's no question about that. It's ticking down, but still too high. But Joe just laid out every metric. Our economy is not, in fact, a disaster. He said, we stopped producing oil after I left office. We're producing more oil than we ever have in this country right now.
Could you stop and say that again? Because I have Yahoo's come up to me. Fox News says Joe Biden not letting us drill. Okay, they don't talk that way. Maybe I'm projecting my voice onto these colleagues.
Wait a minute.
Well, I mean, like you and I said, you'll hear this for people with advanced degrees.
Sure.
He's got a... Well, I mean, he's... Alabama. He's got to have an inner redneck. And, yeah, it's just natural to have that voice be the voice of a... you know, random maggot.
And you go, no, actually, could you read the Financial Times? Fake news! Could you read the Wall Street Journal today? It will tell you America is drilling more oil today than ever before. And when it comes to natural gas, our biggest problem is we got too much.
Yeah.
We got a glut.
Carnage.
And when you hear...
And you know what? That was a well-placed carnage by Mika. Hi, you crazy kids. Be-
Because if you're listing off all the accomplishments, bragging on how much oil we produce, on a planet that is rapidly heating catastrophically, is not a great look. And all that natural gas, it's trashing the places where it's being drilled for, pumped. The proprietary blend of fracking fluid is pure poison. As we discussed a while back, there is a former fracking site in Marion County, West Virginia, near Fairmont, that makes Geiger counters go absolutely wild. Randy Radar was talking a while back about how he had some smoked oysters coming from South Korea, and how he was going to test them with his Geiger counter. The needle on that thing would peg at that site in Marion County, and I remember the sense of horror of the investigator who said, "Oh my God, kids are coming up here and using this as a hookup site," because they were, and probably still are. Steve in New York says Trump looked exhausted. His Adderall prescription refill was on back order. I would not be at all surprised. I think he is exhausted. And I think this is another moment where we cite to the first law of Todd. He ain't going to make it. He's trying desperately to keep any trials from happening, but the March 25th date in in a Manhattan courtroom, Alvin Bragg's case, that looks pretty solid. And, you know, one of the most valuable things out of this is that we have learned he can be tried. Granted, they're all civil. They've all been civil so far. You know, E. Jean Carroll and the Attorney General's disgorgement. But he cannot stop the administration of justice. As Darlene mentioned earlier in the program, there is a worrying case now in which Edwin Meese, among others, have filed an amicus curiae brief saying that the cases brought by Jack Smith should be dismissed immediately because there is no constitutional basis for him to be the special counsel. That, for instance, Merrick the Meek should have appointed some already sitting U.S. attorney to be special prosecutor. It's frightening. And it might give the court the rationale it needs to just make it go away. Because as we know, our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties apparently don't even want to hear the cases. And so in this amicus brief, they're asking Aileen Cannon to dismiss the case The brief was filed on behalf of Edwin Meese, the porn-obsessed attorney general for old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. Yeah, I know. Steve in New York said, Ed Meese, will that fucker just die already? Not just Ed Meese, but law professors Stephen Calabresi and Gary Lawson from, of course, the tax-exempt grift Citizens United. That's the same Ed Meese, Clarence. Is he related to Ed Meese from the Reagan administration? That's the same Ed Meese. And the brief says, Smith is the classic emperor with no clothes. He has no more authority to represent the United States in this court than Tom Brady, Lionel Messi, or Kanye West. The court should grant the motion to dismiss on the appointments clause issue and do so prior to ruling on the other motions to dismiss pending in this case. Apparently they were looking for some snappy celebrity references because the pettifoggers who wrote this had previously cited to Kim Kardashian, Patrick Mahomes, and Mick Jagger. But they changed it. God alone knows why. They went on in the brief and said, the way to appoint a special counsel consistent with the appointments clause in the Constitution is to follow the normal practice of the past quarter century, conferring that status upon a person already serving as a U.S. attorney, which adds a new matter to the portfolio of a Senate-confirmed principal officer. But the attorney general cannot appoint a private citizen or government employee who was never confirmed by the Senate as a substitute United States attorney under the title special counsel, as happened here. That appointment was unlawful, as are all the legal actions that have flowed from it, including Smith's prosecution of President Trump. And, of course, Aileen Cannon is as crooked as a dog's hind leg. Because, among other things, she says she's going to reconsider the trial date that she already set for May the 20th. And, well, she doesn't exactly inspire confidence, now does she? No. Apparently add another another name to the potential vice presidential list for Nitwit Nero. Seb Gorka, the Nazi-adjacent former advisor to Nitwit Nero, says the choice has already been made. He was talking with the man with the biggest, emptiest head on earth, Charlie Kirk, and this transpired.
You see this?
Yeah. We'll get there in a minute.
Dr. Gorka, I'm not sure how you're going to answer this. How are you looking at the vice presidential selection? Who do you like? Who do you think would be a mistake? Your thoughts, Dr. Gorka.
Doctor.
Okay, you put me in a tough position right now, Charlie.
Right out of the gate. Come on, you host a radio show. Like, come on, you got to be on your feet.
No. I know who it is. I know who the president's chosen, and I've been sworn to secrecy. The interesting thing is, it's an amazing choice. It's somebody nobody's talking about. The president, of course, has the prerogative to change his mind. Until I found out, I loved the idea of somebody like Byron Donalds. I think he'd be a rock star. Carrie Lake, even Tim Scott. But at the end of the day, and I think you'll agree with me, Charlie, it doesn't really matter. It's going to be such a choice, a binary choice between light and darkness, between getting back to a secure and prosperous America and the destruction of America under Biden or Newsom or whoever.
So he's just said it's not Tim Scott, it's not Carrie Lake, and it's not Byron Donalds. So And then he says it's going to be a choice between light and darkness, so not a black person. Jesus, these people.
Whoever it is. I don't really think anybody goes into that voting booth thinking, well, I'm going to vote for Biden because of his Veep or President Trump because of his Veep. I do have one request or one, you know, thing I would like to see happen. I don't want the usual biased president. I don't want somebody who goes to the state funerals the president doesn't want to go to. I want a real vice president who's going to have a job. Like, you know, if it's Vivek.
Yeah, or a vice president who can go to, who can go out in the rain when Nitwit Nero's afraid of getting his hair wet. Yeah, I understand, Gorka. You know, Gorka sounds like the name I, the sound I made when I ate those bad clams in Boston once.
Gorka!
Sorry.
Tell Vivek to drain the swamp, to, you know, dismantle the CIA and the FBI. Somebody who can actually get stuff done. That's what I want from the vice president pick. But at the moment, my lips are sealed.
So it's not somebody that we're thinking of? And
No, it's not. It's somebody who's proven himself in Congress, but that's as far as I'm going to go.
Okay.
Himself. Was that a himself? Check that again. Pronouns matter, y'all.
Himself. In-
yeah, himself. So it's a dude who has already proven himself in Congress. Of course, would Seb Gorka lie? Of course Seb Gorka would lie. Seb Gorka is a Nazi-adjacent liar who loves despots the world over. Hey, thank you, George. George in Coarse Gold just jumped in and got us down to 660. Thank you so much. So 20 minutes, $60, we'll be down to $600 for our goal. Fantastic. Especially if there's not going to be a Friday on the front porch. Like I said, hate to miss, but, you know, sometimes you got to stand for things, like one's own right to exist. Stephen New York, Ed Meese et al., what does this brief really tell us? This distinction between MAGA Republicans and Republicans is a fiction. Hey, President Biden, please stop making a distinction. I know, but they have to maintain the fig leaf of there are still respectable Republicans. Just in case one ever pops up. It's kind of like, oh, I don't know, the Mothman or the Loch Ness Monster or the Hollerin' Thang or the Pine Hill Haints. Steve adding, Seb Gorka has no more knowledge of who the VP pick is than I do. Yeah, right. Because, like I said, yeah, he's a liar. I mentioned COVID and the horrors of March 2020. I always think back to a dear, dear friend of mine. It was the St. Paddy's Day party at the Grove, which 8 months later would go up in flames. The Grove was the top area above Secret Sandwich downstairs, and Secret's all back in its full glory now. But it was a quaint old house that, among other things, had been a bicycle shop at one point. There was a lot of locally made art on the walls, and a band was playing that afternoon. And I went in there. They had great bands. I went in there, and a dear friend of mine pulled me out onto the dance floor. And she said, I want to dance with you. Well, thank you. I'm not much of a dancer. And she said, yeah, but we have to. Because I worry that we may never dance this way again. And a week later, the shutdown came. And we didn't. And we haven't. And I miss her terribly. So, yeah, me mentioning COVID in New York got Jude to thinking, and she said, over the weekend, I was with a dear friend, and we watched a program on these two who developed the COVID vaccine. It was a remarkable hour, being reminded that in the midst of such concerns we're facing, there are those focused on being of service to humanity. I, too, remember when New York, specifically, they had funeral homes having to obtain refrigerated trucks to house those that had died. I spent an afternoon calling many funeral homes, thanking them for the difficult work they were enduring. One funeral home director was grateful to receive an affirmation as they had been receiving calls from the mindless, stating horrific statements of how they wanted death to them. Unimaginable, Robin. Unfortunately, in the America in which we live, Jude, it is not unimaginable. It's just a day that ends in Y, where these sick freaks are concerned. I remember the woman who was hell-bent on going to church. And she said, well, it was over in Ohio. I ain't going to get it. Because I'm washed in the blood. Yeah. So, you know. Elsie Stupidnik, drink another pint of pee, honey. Theo with a note, and while we're on the subject of Ed Meese, hey, the one reason I want to think of his name is that it fits a cherished mnemonic from childhood, albeit in a rudish way, to wit, Miska Muska Mouseketeers. Theo says, I'll let myself out. Hey there, hi there, ho there. Theo. Oh, my dear, dear Robin, says Steve in New York, Seb Gorka is not Nazi adjacent. He's a fucking Nazi. And I think he's still wearing his daddy's Nazi pin or something. I hate Illinois Nazis. Hate all the other ones, too. Dirtbags. And since we had a crooked Christian earlier, well, a rapist Christian earlier, a groomer, this, Daniel Rodimer, a former congressional candidate and former professional wrestler, He wrestled under the stage name Dan Rodman. Really? And he ran in 2020 for the 3rd congressional district seat in Nevada against Representative Susie Lee. He lost by 13,000 votes. Well, and then he went to Texas and lived in District 6 and ran in a special election there, but he lost there too. In Texas, he said, are you sick of the bull coming out of D.C.? Texas has big problems. We need to send a big fighter to Congress to solve them. Send Big Dan, the Rod Man, to Congress to put an end to Nancy Pelosi's bull. Let's make America Texas again. Well, on October the 29th, 2023, man named Christopher Tapp, 47 years old, got killed. The cops initially thought it was an accident, as cops will. But then it turned out he was in a fight, Christopher Tapp, inside a hotel room, because the coroner ruled that the death of Christopher Tapp was a homicide from blunt force trauma to the head. And so now an arrest warrant is out for a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican wrestler, Dan the Rod Man. Running around in those little lycra panties in a ring with another man. Children are allowed to watch that shit. I said a minute ago, because I conjured him, somewhere Reverbo is laughing. That was when I said hominy, hominy, hominy. But maybe not why you think. It's because the guy on that show you watch every morning sailed into a brief but noticeable Trump impression and then later a redneck vocal impression. Good for him. I just love the little messages they send. Off to bed with you crazy kids. You have to be up at 3. Yeah, you get up, you shower, you get cleaned up, and it's 4, and then the limo comes and takes you to 30 Rock, and it's 5, and then you're in makeup, and it's 5:30, and the next thing you know, somebody's pointing at you with their finger, and a little red light goes on, and you have... Yeah. Same thing happens here, only different time of the day. No, it doesn't. I'm short a limo. Plenty of makeup involved. I know, Ralph said, what the, Jack Smith shouldn't be special counsel? Will Aileen Cannon set it for the 12th of never? Yeah, or, you know, February the 30th, the year after the sun burns out. The corruption is never ending. Oh, what a surprise. It turns out that Jerry Falwell University has a rape problem. Because, of course, they do. God, is that documentary about Jer and Becky? Is that thing out yet? I lose track. And, of course... Jer has a book coming out that's going to tell all. But no, as I said, Liberty University, Jerry Falwell U, has a rape problem because, as was the case, and it's a Baptist school, of course, as was the case at Baylor, also a Baptist school, when Ken Starr was president of the university there. Yeah, they had a rape problem too, and in both instances, it's not just the rape problem qua the rapes, it's the covering up the rapes problem. Back in 2021, Falwell U got sued by more than 20 students and faculty members who had been raped. And the victims went on and said that they were discouraged from reporting their rapes because, of course, Jerry Falwell U is a Christian university. Turns out it was just a Falwell, it was just a Jerry Falwell grift to create a pipeline for right-wing zealots. So eventually, Falwell U settled the cases. But beginning in 2022, the U.S. Department of Education, because Joe Biden is president and not Nitwit Nero, investigated Falwell U. And the Department of Education reached the conclusion that Falwell U didn't, they did not follow the crime reporting standards of the DOE, and that they had actively discouraged the students from speaking out in violation of the Gene Clary Disclosure of Campus Security Policy and Campus Crime Statistics Act. And so this past Tuesday, acting under the authority of the Clary Act, the Department of Education slapped Falwell U with a fine of $14 million. Richard Cordray, chief operating officer of the DOE's Federal Student Aid Office, said, "Students, faculty, and staff deserve to know that they can be safe and secure in their school communities. We respond aggressively to complaints about campus safety and security. Through the Clary Act, schools are obligated to take action that creates safe and secure campus communities, investigate complaints, and responsibly disclose information about crimes and other safety concerns. We will continue to hold schools accountable if they do so." This then engendered, see what I did there, a great bout of howling and wailing and moaning and groaning from Falwell U about how they have repeatedly endured selective and unfair treatment. Well, you know, you got it. They did selectively fine you because, well, that's kind of how law works. You don't fine people who don't violate the rules. And so, Falwell U said, "Well, we have had numerous deficiencies in the past, but it's unfair. In the report, many of the department's methodologies, findings, and calculations were drastically different from their historic treatment of other universities. Liberty disagrees." This was spokescreep Ryan Helfenbein. Liberty disagrees with this here approach and maintains that we have repeatedly endured selective and unfair treatment by the department. The university concurs there were numerous deficiencies that existed in the past. Examples include incorrect statistical reports as well as necessary timely warnings and emergency notifications that were not sent. We acknowledge and sincerely regret past program deficiencies and have since corrected these errors with great care and concern. That doesn't mean you're not still liable to be fined for the shit you did in the past. How dare you, you Christians, discourage people from reporting their rapes. I mean, after all, there are states all over Jesus land now where a little girl who gets raped can get an abortion, but only if she reports the rape to the cops within 24 hours. They just they can't maintain any. I was going to say they can't maintain any consistency, but they do. At the end of the day, they hate women, and it's manifested in their position on reproductive care, and it's manifested in their position on how they go about dealing with rape. Falwell U should never be eligible to receive another damned penny of federal student aid. It's one of those things I'll never forget. When I began my transition, I knew I was going to have to talk to a therapist, because if I wanted to do the things I knew I wanted to do, I'd have to have a letter from my therapist, a letter from a psychiatrist, and a letter from my medical provider, all attesting to the fact that I am not in fucking fact crazy. And in point of fact, they all said with almost one voice, "Oh no, you're way sane." And when I reached out to the local mental health provider, the person that they first assigned me to, therapy-wise, well, somebody said, you know, look that person up. I mean, you just always want to check in with who you're going to do therapy with. And I can't remember who it was that told me that, but I did. I looked her name up, and she got her bachelor's degree from Falwell U and her master's degree in counseling psychology from Falwell U. And the first thing that went through my mind was, oh, no. So I called him back and I said, is this the same person who has two degrees, a bachelor's and a master from Falwell U? Yes. And I said, and you assigned a trans woman to her for therapy? I said, that's not going to work. She spent nearly a decade at that school learning to hate people. She went to a school that says trans people shouldn't exist. Hell, she went to a school that says that Adam and Eve rode on their dinosaurs to Sunday school. And that's how I met my therapist. Because they said, yeah, you're probably not a good fit. And referred me to the woman that I see to this day, who is wonderful and competent. The money that comes into that tax-exempt grift, Liberty University. It's disgusting to even contemplate. The way this country funds the religion industry is disgusting to contemplate. Thanks, Billable. That helps a lot. So we are at, we will be at 960 going into tomorrow's program, which will probably be the final program of the week, unless I decide not to go to Charleston. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our challenge makers, our respondents to the challenge, to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please like each podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast on a couple of different platforms, because one every now and then one of them does foul up. Leave a comment, maybe. That's really super helpful, and thanks so much to those of you who do. Thanks for the warm condolence over Wayne's passing. You know who you are. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Wander by sometime, see what they're up to. 25 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Stay safe, y'all. Get your booster, get your flu shot. We had some lovely days here, and now it's going to get cold and shitty again. Ugh. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots. especially. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance as best you can. And if Nitwit Nero comes toward you, babbling about,
"Our military sucks, America sucks,"
that's how you do the impression, Joey. Well, avoid Nitwit Nero like the plague. Because he is, literally. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Later.